In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today, my beloved, we have come to the Holy Thursday of the Passion Week. This is the day when the Lord had started the mystery of Holy Communion. Today, for the first time, he had given the Holy Communion to his disciples. And not only to the disciples which were faithful to him, but even to the one that he knew was going to betray him. He had recently given the Holy Communion. He also did today something very unusual in the tradition of the Old Testament, when they have a celebration, then the youngest out of the people that are in the room, they would have to wash the feet of everybody present, because they used to wear sandals, and the feet would get dirty. And so, but since the disciples were having an argument who is going to be the highest and the closest to the Lord, as the two brothers wanted to be, and one on the left and one on the right of the Lord, and the Lord had when the other disciples heard it, and they got jealous, and they were upset with them that why they wanted to have the priority to be the closest to the Lord in the rank. And so the Lord showed them an example. He took off his upper robe, and he took a towel, and he wrapped it around himself. He took a basin of water and started to wash the feet of the disciples as if he was the youngest out of the whole, all of them. And of course, when he came up to St. Peter, St. Peter had said, "You will never wash my feet." And the Lord says, because he knew that it wasn't proper that the disciples should have washed his feet. And but the Lord said, "Well, then you will have no union with me." And then St. Peter said, "Well, wash my head also, and everything else," because he wanted to make sure he is with the union of the Lord. And because he had great love for the Lord. And in today's gospel, we see that the Lord had given the communion, and when he had given broke the bread and gave the bread, and he said that this is my body which is broken for you, and he said to do this in his memory, and he gave them to drink out of the same chalice to everyone to share and to drink from the same chalice. And he said, "This is my blood which is shed for you for the remission of sins." Well, he gave all that to everyone, including to the one who is going to betray him, which was Judas Iscariot. And he, after receiving the bread from the Lord, the Satanate entered him, and he went and he had went to the authorities, and he betrayed, and the Lord actually sold him for 30 pieces of silver. My beloved, why did he do that? Well, he had a passion of the love of money. He was like a keeper of the money. He was carrying the bag when people would donate something for their needs, and he would put it in there. And he was very upset when later the saint had came to the Lord and poured the alabaster of holy of the great fragrant, very expensive myrrh, fragrant oil that she put on the feet of the Lord. And my beloved, he was so upset that he said that could have been sold for 300 silver pieces and given it to the poor. Of course, he didn't care about the poor. He just wanted the money to the great sorrow. Even the other disciples had thought it was a waste of money to have poured that fragrant oil on the Lord's feet. But the Lord says, leave that woman alone, and whatever gospel is going to be preached, it's always going to be the memory of what she had done for me. You have the poor people with you all the time, but you don't have me all the time. And she prepared me for my funeral. My beloved, he knew that in only a few days he is going to be crucified, my beloved. And so he had given us the mystery of Holy Communion. How do you and I, how do we approach the mystery? Do we feel that we are worthy to have the mystery? Well, if we do, then we are making a great, great mistake. No one can be worthy to receive the Holy Mysteries. It's only because of the great mercy of God, the grace and love of the Lord, that we can receive the Holy Mysteries. When you and I approach the Holy Mystery, we have to realize that we are the greatest sinners. When we look at another human being, we have to recognize that we are worse than that other human being. Here I'm standing in church and I'm looking at the parishioners, and I look at you and you and you, whoever I look at, I have to say that you are absolutely better than I am, that I am the worst sinner. I take out the chalice and bring the chalice out, and I say that the Lord came to save sinners, of whom I am the chief. This is the spirit of the humility that we have to cultivate in ourselves. We have to realize that your neighbor, no matter how he or she behaves, and whether they are committed just a big sin right before your eyes that you have never even maybe committed, but still he may be much better than you are and she, because he is or she is about to repent of that in a half a minute or a minute or so. Well, you may fall into a worse sin than has been done by that person. My beloved, this is the way of thinking that we should develop. Never look down at anybody, and don't look down at a person when you see him in a gutter that he is drunk, or when you see even somebody that committed adultery or murder or any other terrible sins. Don't think that you are better, because the church tells us, because those can repent. Don't forget the robber that was crucified, and he was on the right side of the Lord when he was crucified, and he repented, and he said, we deserve to be crucified, to die this terrible death, but the Lord had done nothing wrong, and he said to him, bring me into thy kingdom, and the Lord promised that today you will be in my kingdom, because he felt, he saw that he repented of all the sins that he had done, my beloved. And he was the first one that came into the kingdom of heaven. And the robber, repented robber. And so you never know what your neighbor is going to do and how he's going to fare and what's going to happen to him. And you don't know what's going to happen to you. Don't forget how sure Saint Peter was that he would never betray the Lord, that he said he would rather die, but he would not betray the Lord. But the Lord said, Before the crow is going to make his noise, you will betray me 3 times. You will deny me, and this is what happened. You can never be sure of yourself, and because the being sure of yourself, and this is a sign of pride. This is a sign of a pride. It's better for us to be unsure of ourselves and to feel that but for the grace of God, I cannot be saved because I am no good. And the only one who can make me good is the Lord Himself through His grace, because He loves me so much that He died for me. He died personally for me. That's what you have to say. Every one of you have to say that He died personally for you. He wants your salvation, and He is willing to give you the grace, but on one condition, and that condition that you humble yourself, that you won't look down at anybody else, and that you you're truly in your heart will consider yourself worse than anybody else. And if you do that and be genuine about it, then you wouldn't be able to come up to the Holy Communion in such a state of thinking that you're worthy of receiving. Again, I will repeat myself, no one is worthy to receive the Holy Communion. It is a great gift that the Lord bestows upon us because of His great love. And then when we receive communion, we receive life from the Lord, and we receive the grace from the Lord, and then truly you and me can rejoice because we feel the love of the Lord. But we have to watch ourselves not to misbehave after that, but to hold on to the Lord as long as possible, and then to be grateful for His love. And this is what we have to develop. And when we do receive Holy Communion, then we cannot look down at anybody. It just would not be possible if we truly had accepted the Lord as our personal Savior. He loves us, and He proved it by dying for us. He said there is no greater love when somebody gives his life for his neighbor. And that's what He did. He died for me. My beloved, we have to learn the road of humility to make it to the kingdom of heaven, to receive the grace. For without the grace, again, we cannot be saved. We need the supernatural power that the Lord bestows upon those who humble themselves. And He will give us then the power to be able to conquer whatever we have to conquer, to clean our heart, to clean ourselves up from all the defilement that the sin causes us, and so that the devil will have no power over us. You know, the devil has the power over us only when we give it to him through our sinning. When we sin, and we give the power to the devil. And so let's try to avoid doing any sins, and let's try to remember that also the devil hates the humility. He is the opposite. He is full of himself. He is full of pride. And the Lord has said to Saint Anthony the Great, and once He said to him that through humility you can bypass all the snares of the enemy. And work on that. Let's work on that so that we will start to have the love between each other, so that the people will recognize that we are disciples of the Lord because we have love for each other, because we carry the burdens of each other, because we are not attacking one another, and we are willing to take if it need to be the abuse from our loved ones. And even if the loved ones get mad at us and that angry at us, don't forget what the Lord is about to go through. How they spat on Him, they have hit Him, they have tortured Him all night long before they finally crucified Him. And then when He was on the cross, they mocked Him even on the cross. He endured all those things. And for who? For me. for you. This is what he did. You and I have to recognize that, and we have to follow in his example. Not that we are be so fortunate that somebody is going to crucify us. As you know, many saints have went that road, and many saints have been crucified and died a terrible death to follow after the Lord. But this is a great honor to become a martyr. But you be willing to be martyred at least with the sicknesses that the Lord may allow you to come at your old age, with all kinds of unfair treatments that other people give you. All those things, take those things in stride and take it in thanking the Lord that you are able to be partaker at least of a little bit of the suffering which he endured for us. My beloved, today we have finished, yesterday we have finished the gospel reading except for the passion and parts of the suffering of the Lord of St. John's from the 14th chapter on, and these things we're going to be hearing tonight. Tonight at the service when 12 times the gospel is going to be read, and let's put these words, and when we hear the gospel, let's cry in our heart from the great joy and great sorrow that we are the cause, and we have caused the Lord all this suffering, because he suffered for our sins. He suffered for my sin. He suffered for your sin. And we have to recognize that. And once we recognize it, then we will see that the great love that the Lord has for us. And then we will be ashamed if we cannot tolerate the crosses that the Lord sends us, however severe they may be, or the unfair treatment that we may get from our loved ones. My beloved, let's again, I'm begging us to humble ourselves and have the spirit of humility by which we will keep the enemy away from us, and to will be able to receive the grace of God through which we'll be able to truly to develop our love for each other, thus proving the love for our Lord, and we'll be able to finally make it into the kingdom of heaven. And as you know, it's only a few days that we'll be able to hear the great and joyous songs of the Pascha, of the resurrection of the Lord, and that we'll be able to really rejoice in that holiday, knowing that all the suffering that the Lord had went through for us has been finished for him, and he resurrected himself and showed his power and is willing to bring us to the Lord, to the kingdom of heaven, to be with him and the Holy Spirit and his Father, to be able to rejoice at all times. May God give us the strength to tomorrow, since it's the day of when the Lord had died on the cross, that for us to try to fast and to keep ourselves from any kind of a sin whatsoever, and to sacrifice at least a little bit, because the Lord said one in the gospel, as you know, that when the disciple of the St. John and of the Baptist and the Pharisees, pupils, when he said, how come your disciples do not keep fasting rules, and we do, and the Lord said, they will fast when the bridegroom is not going to be with them. And tomorrow is the day that we should have the fullest fasting, or the biggest fasting that we have ever endured. May God help us to do that in the gratitude for our Lord's suffering that he did to save us, and so that we can then be able to rejoice in his resurrection. Amen.